Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hey, groomers! Hi there, Susie. What's up this week?
You know what's up? Spring is up.
Yay!
I'm so happy. I've got to say, we've had seven or eight days of sunshine since October. And one of them is happening right now. It's so nice out. And I walked out to the barn and to feed the chickens, and I just felt different. Just going outside, I felt different. And of course, I knew that I was going to come in here and record episode 118 of the Groom Pod with you on April 9th, 2017 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. So this week on the Groom Pod, we're going to talk about customer service and Q-tip. Q-tip is one of Barbara's patented phrases. And we're going to learn a little about hair damage. So you can join the discussion by finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/thegroompod. And we've had some really active customer service interactions there as of late, haven't we?
Yes, it's been fun.
I agree. You can subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Google Play, pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. You can find all things Groom Pod related, including our all-important Amazon banner and the donation button at www.thegroompod.com. Remember to share it with all your grooming pals and support our sponsors. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.bbird.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma. All right, Barbara, what's your week been like?
Well, it's pretty, I'll tell you, we had Friday was a day from groomer hell.
Uh-oh.
You know, just in case people think that I am somehow immune from that because I am semi-retired and 3 days a week and 6 to 8 dogs only, and I market to the cream of the crop and all of that. No, I can still, my day can still go straight to hell. This began, and it was new dogs.
Oh, good. Now I feel better.
I have new dogs from hell. And I'll name names. Rocket was this dog's name, and he was fired up.
I like that name, Rocket.
He was a poodle mix, kind of a leggy poodle mix, cute dog with really curly hair, and we did the curl retention thing, which I'm going to do a little tutorial on. And the woman was real nice and understanding, and I agreed to leave him curly, and she then said that he wouldn't let her brush him, and that was my first clue.
Boy, there's a red flag.
Yeah, and we hadn't had that over the phone.
Of course not.
Red flag had not, you know, like, you don't want to just go there on a phone inquiry. Is he a good boy? You know.
Well, no.
You know, I do that with cats. You know, when I'm agreeing to do a new cat, I ask a lot of questions about behavior, but not so much with dogs. So I didn't probe into the behavior dimension at all. And I got him on my table, and he's just one of those kind of autistic dogs that doesn't want to be touched. You know?
Yes, I know them well.
Oh, man.
Sometimes they end up with me.
Yeah. I don't know. You probably would have trussed him up pretty well, but I didn't. I had to hand scissor the whole dog.
Yikes.
He could not stand the clippers. Anytime, you know, he couldn't stand anything, but I could manage with Yvonne holding him down to scissor off enough length. And then we bathed him, and he was a two-person rodeo in the tub. I'm telling you. And Yvonne has this kind of skin that happens when you get older, and she bruises and tears real easily. She was just beat up.
Oh, bummer.
By this dog. It took us probably 2 hours out of our day of just intense handling and wrestling and, oh, so hard to even trim around his eyes, which is what he needed the most.
No, man, I hate that.
Oh, and I got it done. And I first thing I did was I put away my usual tools and got the ball tip scissors.
Because right.
I didn't recognize that he could easily just jab himself with any pointed tip tools. So it was just so freaking stressful, and we're trying to reassure him, and we're treats don't work, nothing works. He just did not want to do it. And then 2 hours later, I had two new dogs scheduled that were old friends of my parents.
Wow, that's neat.
Friends of my deceased parents, and I had groomed a cocker or something like that for them.
Are they ghosts?
Before, no, practically. Oh, wait till I tell you. Wait a minute. Wait till I tell you. So they had called me, and it turns out that on Christmas, they went to the animal control and found two boy poodles, mini poodles, that had been turned in the day before.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Pepe and Blanco.
Okay.
Oh, that was a clue. Since December, they had taken them once to a pet something, and they weren't very happy with the results. And the groomers there told them that the dogs were a little fidgety. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, well, they were both two-person dogs, you know? I mean, and then I had to complete the rest of my day. So by then, we were out of time. We had, you know, because it can work all right if I need Yvonne to help me with one dog. But when it's one dog after another dog after another dog, and then the last dog of the day was this big, curly, full-coated doodle that I do every 5 weeks named Bubba.
Bubba, that's that gives a visual impression.
And Bubba is Bubba. We love Bubba, but he's not easy. He's not. Doesn't give me a lot of grief. He's just really bigger than I should be dealing with, you know. And we were both already damaged.
I bet. Exhausted and beat up.
Completed, and then we had to do Bubba.
If you were a video game, your life force would be down to nothing.
And I had to jump in and help Yvonne dry the dog. And you know what? I'm not a very good team player. I mean, I do it. But more crap goes through my head. when I'm team drying with this woman who's been working for me for 5 years and doesn't do a thing that I taught her.
I knew it.
She listened to me for 2 years and then just threw it all out the window and does things her way. And you know, I like to kind of, when I'm force drying a dog with somebody else force drying the dog, I like to, we pick sides.
Yes.
But I like to start on the back and have you start on the front.
That seems good. Then you pass in the middle and you're not blowing each other.
But she doesn't stay in her area. She goes all over the dog 10 times. Oh, man, you don't know. It's going through my head. And, you know, we're too tired. It is not the moment to your employee when you've been beat up
Oh man, that sounds like a brutal beating of a day.
Oh, it was awful. We crawled out of there. I came home, I fell asleep and didn't even feed the dog.
Well, I
woke up and gave him a good breakfast with extra scrambled egg on it. You know?
I bet. Oh my gosh. Oh, and I bet you were probably needed a whole day in bed to recover after that one.
Well, and I didn't. And so then I had Friday and I had to wake up and go back in. I am actually seriously considering reordering my schedule so that I always have a day between. So work Tuesday, off Wednesday, work Thursday, off Friday, work Saturday. I'm thinking about changing it that way because it's gotten so that 2 days in a row, my hands are seizing up and oh my God.
That sounds like the logical thing to do.
Yeah, so I'm considering that. So then just another thing that I wanted to share this week is that it's been very dry and very breezy. Dry and breezy has resulted in a lot of static electricity in the salon.
Well, that's always fun to deal with.
Yeah, so I doubt that you have that too often because of your high humidity.
Not often.
You know, my little Maltese, little Leah, she just looks like Phyllis Diller. I mean, you just pet her a couple of times. And especially in the morning, Yvonne will be wearing her sweater and she picks the dog up to greet her and everything. And she puts little down on the floor and she's just got all this flyaway hair. So, you know, I notice on my table that I'm having static and the hair pieces are clinging to my scissors.
Oh, yeah.
Scissoring isn't working very well and all of that. And so I took proactive measures.
What'd you do?
What I did is, first of all, I started my aromatherapy mister right next to my table.
That's a good idea.
I just started misting it, something nice, you know. And then I used my Flarisol bottle ultrafine spray with some anti-static coat spray in it, diluted pretty much, highly diluted. And then I just mist over the top of the table, you know, like once or twice before I start grooming the dog and if I need to again in the middle of it. But that just seems to really keep it calm. I was been misting the Chris Christensen Just Divine, which has a Just Divine fragrance, really nice fragrance. And gee, people were noticing how good their dog smelled. So I think I'll continue doing that.
Yeah, nice.
But, you know, you can use anything, any conditioner that has an anti-static, and almost all of them, one of the main ingredients is going to be an anti-static. And just dilute it like 20 to 1, mist it way up high. Just mist the air. You're not having to mist your dog that you're scissoring. And it will just gently drift down through the air, and it will just help to neutralize that static.
But not create greasiness or heaviness or any of that stuff. Yeah. That's a good tip, Barbara. I like that tip.
That's my tip that resulted from my one of my thinking days, Friday notwithstanding.
All right.
What else are we talking about today?
Well, I've been kind of struggling along, of course, with the new client thing. And I knew it was going to just take a little bit of time for things to come to like maximum force. And all of a sudden now I'm really busy.
Yeah.
And so I sent a message to Danielle and I said, okay, hold off. Don't send me anymore. And she said, uh-oh. And I said, what? And she said, well, I just sent out a letter with
your... Oh, no.
Yeah, but luckily I know all the rest of the groomers, so I can now pick and choose a little bit and try to help farm out some of these. But yeah, I've got a cat coming up, and today I've got an older senior, I don't know, lab mix of some sort that's, you know, like a 16-year-old dog way out of my area, but I probably have the best equipment to deal with it. So I decided to go ahead and take it. It's one of those things I picked up on Facebook. And then all of a sudden, three people who lost dogs in the last 5 years got puppies or shelter dogs. So now my old people are coming back as I wanted. Now I'm getting referrals for the old dogs from who knows where. Plus I found out where all the doodles have been being groomed. Apparently Danielle has been grooming all the doodles because almost everything that comes from her is a damn doodle. So anyway, it's interesting, you know, dealing with that because I just thought, okay, now I got to let things settle a little bit because I'm putting people out 6 or 8 weeks, which means now I'm out of the cycle and now I'm probably full enough. And yet now there's an email blast and a letter going out. God, this week was cool though, because it was all my regular people. It was really relaxed, a normal week. But I did have a very emotional Tuesday as I drove down to Portland to sign the papers to sell my mom's boat. I say my mom's boat, even though it was really kind of both our boats. The end of the big boating era.
Yeah, it was a turning the page in a whole family thing, you know, family thing. It's just hard to do. It's just hard to grow up and see the end of some of these family traditions and joint ventures and stuff like that. So
we got a good 20 years out of that boat. 20 years. It was my mom's boat. She picked it out. She paid for it. She couldn't run it. So it ended up being an adult child trap, but in the long term, a great blessing to have. And I did not disclose this, but there's a little bit of my mother in the bilge of that boat. Because I thought she should go with the boat as well. So I put a little bit of her in the boat. That, and then the whole tooth thing has been interesting because I went into the dentist all prepared, mentally prepared to get the root canal. And when they x-rayed my tooth with the fancy new digital x-ray system they have at my dentist that doesn't cost anything, they could see that the infection is actually underneath in between my roots and not in my tooth at all, as far as he could tell. So I have to go to the other type of dentist to have the outside of my tooth looked at, not the inside of my tooth. So I've scheduled that in for the 25th. And I know, we should mention, this is a good spot to mention that we are going to air a best of towards the end of this month because Barbara has a webinar coming up, don't you, Barbara?
I have a private webinar.
Yeah, cool.
Private webinar coming up with the groomers in Maine.
That is neat.
That one person has put together, and they're doing, I'm not the only part of that event. There's a whole Maine groomers event going on. God, I guess I should post a link to her if you want to register and get in on it if you're a Maine groomer. I'm doing shampoos. And, you know, the chemistry of and I'm going to try to do a little different slant on it. So it's not just technical, but I'm going to try to put in more information about using shampoos and that kind of stuff. So I'm real excited about that. And participants, and it's an event where you have to go to. And then I'm delivering the webinar to the event.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
So it's not like everybody's sitting in their home watching me. They're going to be there watching me on a screen.
So they get to network. Cool.
And they'll all be getting one of my books, a Beyond Suds and Scent book, as a part of their participation. So how cool is that?
That is a neat deal. I like that idea.
I'm excited about that. And I'm excited about gearing up the webinar thing. And I really want to schedule my own national webinar. I want you to be in on it, too, for you and I to do it.
I'd be honored.
Towards the end of May.
Okay. That sounds like a date.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Well, I spoke with, I didn't speak with. Now in today's terms, I emailed with Jody Murphy about having her come on the podcast. And she is, of course, very busy right at this moment, but she will probably be on the podcast in May. And we look forward to that. So, if there's anything you guys want to ask Jody Murphy or ask Barbara, please put it up on the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/thegroompod, because we're due for an Ask Barbara show anyway. So get some questions up there for us to answer. And let's hear from best shot. And then we'll be off to our first appointment, which is actually over at the reception desk because it's about customer service. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out BestShotPet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's BestShotPet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Customer service problem? Let's talk about it at the reception desk. All right, Barbara, we are going to talk a little bit more about customer service, especially after that lively exchange we had on our Facebook group. I think it's a great topic. And my favorite part of customer service is, well, it's that little tip that you gave me many years ago called Q-tip, or quit taking it personally. So confrontation brings out defensiveness in everyone. It's just part of nature. We need to learn a way to combat that while we're in the moment. You know, it puts you in a bad spot. It makes you not open to the person who's actually sending the other messages to you. So you need to kind of retrain yourself to react differently. And that's what Q-tip is all about, right?
Well, right. Q-tip, quit taking it personally, is because taking it personally is probably our biggest problem in customer relations. And it's built in, it's integral to grooming because our grooming is personal.
Yep, it's like default mode. We instantly default to that.
Yep, and it's just instinct to protect your own ego. And that's not ego in a bad sense, but ego in terms of your sense of self. And and it's real because that's our own handiwork that's that's on the line there, or it's our own delivery of system, it's our own business, it's us, you know. And most groomers are pretty kind of passionate defenders of the animal. You know, we're advocates for the animal. And so our belief systems get threatened when somebody's unhappy or complaining or whatever.
Yeah, we instantly default to the taking it personally part. And then we kind of perceive things. We project an intent that may or may not be there because people have their own filters and their own motivations and their own records that play in their head, and they may not be anything like the ones that play in our head. And the minute you start taking it personally, you pretty much shut off that communication.
And, you know, and the reason that I write about taking it personally is because it's been a major challenge for me in my own life. I mean, it's just been one of the biggies. Is getting a little thicker skin, a little bit more of an objectivity on me. I mean, I can even remember crying in front of a customer with an Afghan hound that declared that he was going to be going somewhere else, you know, like, because I had just given it my all.
We feel like it's an attack. We feel like we're being blamed or we're somehow being wronged. You know, we just instantly insert that right into the middle of the communication.
So what helps is if you actually think of yourself as taking off your groomer hat and putting on your customer service department hat.
You know, I like that idea.
Now I'm going to play the role of the customer service department. You know, and you
just, and shove that groomer right down in the back, and then tell them to go into the back room while your customer service department handles it.
Set them aside. Thank you for getting us started in here. Now let me take over. Right. I hear you say that.
Right. I hear you say that.
Yeah, I hear you say that the dog wasn't groomed to your expectations. I'm so sorry. You know, your instinct is to say, what do you mean?
What do you mean? It's not sides are instantly drawn, and you are on the opposite side of the person who is telling you that you didn't do your job right, or that the animal was injured or whatever. Instantly, we feel blamed. Instantly, we think that they don't see it our way. And of course, they're thinking the same thing. They're thinking, why doesn't she see it my way? Why doesn't that groomer see that this happened, or that this haircut looks bad, or whatever. And it even happens in the workplace, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah, especially when, say, for instance, a boss has to come back and correct one of their groomers, you know, and correct in a pattern, or say the owner didn't want this, they wanted this. And then instantly the groomer becomes defensive and isn't open to the correction and doesn't hear that the owner or the shop owner, either one, wants something done a different way, you know, and it creates anger and aggression amongst coworkers. And it's not good. It makes for an uncomfortable situation at work.
Well, that's right. And so delivering messages, and few of us have been trained on how to deliver a critical, criticizing message to an employee or a coworker. And I don't know, my approach has always been to balance that with something that's praiseworthy.
You mean the compliment sandwich?
Yeah, the compliment sandwich. You just like stick that pickle in the middle. The other thing that I do is something that I, you know, treat them like I would want myself. Is this a good time for us to talk about such and such? You know,
timing is so important.
Like I said, I, you know, like a whole bunch of stuff was going through my head about my employee Yvonne when I was team drying the golden doodle at the end of the day from hell on Friday. But I knew that was not a time to become a supervisor. I knew.
That was the time to be the coworker and co-groomer and supporter. And oh my gosh, I can't believe we made it through that day. Yeah. And just let the other thing go. Let it go.
I even paid her an extra $20 that day. To be honest.
Because you were thinking bad things?
Well,
did you punish yourself, or was it just because it was such a horrible day? Because that's worth an extra 20.
I got on the one easy dog that we did that day, I got a tip, and a big tip. And so I just immediately shared that with her. I just sent her home with an extra 20 spot in her purse. So, you know, I just gave her a cash bonus.
That's something right there.
You know, but now what I have to do is I do need to not be stockpiling these kinds of grievances that I have about her drying technique. I need to work with her to pick a time when we can talk about it and then deliver the message that I need her to try to do it my way.
Yes. Yeah. God, I don't envy you in that situation.
There's a reason that it's my way.
Yes. some of the things we can do before a confrontation happens is to kind of examine what our own personal triggers are. Is it that you didn't provide good enough service? Because that's one for me. I know that my grooming isn't always great, but my service is really good. I'm really good at service. And if somebody says, oh, you didn't provide the service I wanted, then I feel bad. I'm sure for you, it's more the haircut isn't exactly how I want. That would make you feel awful. I'm used to that. That's just every day for me. But, you know, we've got old hurts and old records and old filters that play in our head. And if we can learn to recognize them, then maybe we can step in and intervene, throw that groomer in the back, grab that customer service person and address the issue in a more detached manner. So interpreting what those kind of triggers are for us is important.
Yeah, you got to know your own weak spots.
Oftentimes, situational or health factors can cause triggers that we forget about. You know, you don't think about it, but, you know, maybe that person's not getting very much sleep, which is part of the timing thing. You know, if you know somebody's not getting very much sleep, probably not the day to discuss the drying technique. People aren't very rational when they haven't been sleeping. If they've got pain issues, if their husband is dying, which of course you went through that one recently. Recognizing those situational health factors maybe in your coworkers can help you pick a right time, or in yourself can help you detach and deal with the situation at hand. What else can we do during, you know, kind of in the moment to recognize and take back the moment and take control of this situation? I know one thing.
Oh, good.
One of the things that really helps is to make a conscious decision. Make a conscious decision right off the bat as it's happening, as the words are starting to formulate and the aggression and the defensiveness is coming out. Make a conscious decision not to react that way. It's your choice. It's your choice.
Is this how I want to be?
You know? Yes.
You know, sometimes it's such a knee-jerk reaction. And then you can just see yourself and saying, is this how I want to be? Is this how I want to be in this kind of a situation? And then make a choice of, yeah, this looks okay to me. Like when I sent the customer away.
Right.
I made a choice that that what she thought of me did not matter.
Yes.
But I stood by my principle on that one. But there are other times where I have reacted defensively or poorly and actually stopped myself and said to the customer, hold on, wait a minute. This is not, I apologize for acting that way. This is not how I want to be. Da-da-da. Let's move on.
Okay? That's impressive.
Yeah, I have been able to do that, but it's really hard. I mean, this is not easy stuff. Not taking it personally is not, you know, except there are, I have to say, there are some people who never take it personally. Some employees who never take it personally. So it's really hard to make them even feel bad enough to, you know what I'm saying? To want to
do.
Because they're just insulated. We all, humans are so interesting. There's infinite varieties.
It's true.
You know, and you just cannot assume that everybody that you interact with is set up and triggered the way that you are.
Yep. Sometimes it helps to take a moment. To just take a moment and step back from the situation, you know, if you need to excuse yourself to go into the back room or go to the restroom or something, and just take a moment to take a breath and reassess. And like I said before, let it go. Just like the Disney song, let it go. Just realize that there is no benefit to you being defensive in this environment. Let it go, deal with the situation, and then call your best grooming pal and then bitch about it. Because that's what that grooming networking does, is it gives you somebody to call up and complain to. But take the situation as it comes. Practice, practice, practice. Practice your responses.
Anytime you're going to try to change your response pattern, it needs to be done over and over again. You need to practice it. Sometimes it helps if you write something out. Like what I have for when there's customer complaints, I have my 7 steps.
I have your 7 steps too, because they're in the book. You guys should buy this book. This book is an awesome book. It's not just about the grooming. It's barbers, customers.
Don't always get taught. You know, we had a really interesting thread on the Groom Pod discussion group this past week. And it's interesting. Very few groomers have formal education in communication skills and customer relations. Some have experiences like in retail sales or restaurant business that where they gained experience, but still experience is not quite the same thing as training.
Yes, and the book will help. The book works really well for that. All right. Another thing you can do is have a visual aid. And I like this. Stick a Q-tip up there somewhere near the customer service area where you deal with these things and just let it sit there so that while you're engaging with someone and you see out of the corner of your eye that little Q-tip, it'll remind you to not take it personally.
Yeah. You know, all right. One of the ways you can tell that you're taking it personally is if it really hurts.
Yeah. Yep.
If it really hurts.
Good point.
Yeah. Then that's a sure clue that you just got old emotional attachments and old tapes and stuff that are working there. So remember, people, it's only dog grooming. It's not you.
It's not you.
It's just this moment. It's just, you know,
and this customer, this employee.
Right. It's, and you know, in terms of the universe, dog grooming doesn't, it's not that it's not important, but it doesn't stack up as to being the whole measure of your life.
Yes, even though it is for some of us.
Even though it is for me. But here's one thing.
Okay.
The one really good way to not take grooming moments seriously is to have other activities outside of your work that are satisfying and are part of who you are.
Good advice. Words of wisdom from the bird. Those are bird's words straight from her mouth to our ears. All right, let's take a moment to hear from South Park Professional Pet Products, and then we will be back with our definition du jour.
Oh, boy.
Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Park Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Park, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Park's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Park's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
The definition du jour.
Definition du jour time, Barbara. Tell us of what you've learned about hair damage.
Well, one of the things that I do in my little self-appointed job as your guru is that I subscribe to some cosmetic science email journals, etc. So I get this one for cosmetic scientists called Cosmetics and Toiletries. It has a lot of interesting information, but boy, these people are heavy.
Wow.
They have such a vocabulary. So what I'm going to do, I found this really interesting article, How Damaged is Hair? Part 1, Surface Damage. So that, like coat damage is one of my big topics. And in fact, that's the webinar that we're going to offer in May. It's I want to do my coat damage. Because this article is just validating me a whole lot. And it's got a lot of kind of technical stuff, but I would like to read a few excerpts from this article and provide a plain English translation, okay?
Excellent.
So one of the things that it's reminding me of is that in addition to those kind of simple imagery of the hair shaft as involving the cuticle, the cortex, and the medulla, there is an important element called the cell membrane complex. The cell membrane complex is the stuff that is found between the scales of the hair cuticle.
Okay.
So there's this stuff, and the hair, the CMC, the cell membrane complex, holds the whole thing together. Okay. It's the glue between the hair cuticles. It's the glue that keeps the hair cuticles attached to the surface. All right. And it's also the pathway of materials into the inner part of the, the keratin scales themselves are pretty impenetrable.
Right, they're like armor. They lay over the top of each other and it's hard to get in them.
But how chemicals get through the cuticle into the cortex is most likely, there's no way to definitely determine this, but most likely it's through the cell membrane complex. I just wanted to point that out because that's an element that we don't ever talk about when we talk about the composition of hair. And there are certain things that degrade the cell membrane complex that then lead to more damage. So, this article goes on a little bit to talk about damage to the hair. Declining surface properties create additional friction amongst surrounding fibers during mechanical manipulation.
There's got to be an easier way to say that.
Declining surface properties.
Right.
Okay, it's not surface properties are the integrity of the outer surface. Okay. So as that declines, so what they're really saying is that hair damage begets greater hair damage.
So once it starts, then it gets worse.
Let me read you. That wasn't even the whole sentence.
Ooh.
Let me complete the sentence.
All right.
Let me start over again. I'm going to read you the whole sentence.
Okay. I'm sitting down. I'm ready.
You ready? Hang on. Declining surface properties create additional friction amongst surrounding fibers during mechanical manipulation, i.e. grooming.
Right.
Which subsequently causes more surface abrasion and produces still more cuticle damage.
Damage makes damage.
A snowballing cycle is produced and hair properties quickly worsen. So this is to remind us that hair is dead and everything that we do to the hair is forever.
Okay.
You know, if we rip open a hair cuticle, it isn't going to somehow mend itself with rest. Like,
right.
It's not like a strained muscle.
It doesn't go backwards.
It doesn't go backwards. It only goes forward. It only gets worse. You know, so listen to this statement. The mundane everyday task of brushing hair has considerable scientific complexity. Well, really? Yeah, some science is describing it.
Yeah.
Well, what do you say, dude? He says, during grooming, hair fibers are aligned by squeezing between the teeth of brushes and combs.
Quite the scientific observation there.
Yes. A highly chaotic state must ensue as individual fibers twist, bend, and slide past each other.
Chaotic.
Chaotic. A highly chaotic state of hairs.
So, I never thought of it that way.
Nor I. But snags possessing various degrees of persistence will form. Snags possessing various degrees of persistence will form. Some may detangle almost instantly. Others may unsnarl while being pulled down the length of the hair or at the tips. Some will not readily detangle and create knots. The tendency for these situations will seemingly escalate dramatically with surface deterioration and increased roughness. And by roughness, he doesn't mean rough handling. He means roughness of the surface of the hair cuticle. So the more we groom, the more damage occurs. And the surface, even combing the hair, creates chaos amongst the fibers that can increase friction. A static cling itself will create hair damage. I've always said that.
Huh.
And now
we have proof.
I feel validated. This scientist is talking my shit.
Now all he needs is a bathing suit and to get into the pool.
Yeah, come on, get in the pool with me. So here's something about lifted hair cuticle. The term uplifted possibly implies that cuticles can be coaxed into lying back down, but in reality, they have been torn free from the underlying CMC cement and are fated to erode and dislodge via mechanical action.
So no way to get the cuticle or to get the shingles back down on the hair shaft?
Here we're saying results rinse and acidic rinse closes the hair cuticle. It may encourage closure.
But probably not actually doing it.
The more damaged the hair cuticle is, the less likely you are to ever be able to get it to close tightly again.
Hmm.
You know? And just washing and drying and combing and brushing hair are creating wear and tear.
So this is especially applicable to those full-coated like Yorkies or Havanese that we do Maltese Shih Tzus, where we've had the coat long for years. And it just gets looking worse and worse, and now we know why.
Right. However, products can interrupt and mitigate the snowballing damage to the hair cuticle. The fundamental technical benefit provided by hair conditioners is surface lubrication, which greatly reduces frictional wear and tear.
which is like silicone's main property.
Yeah, but it's any there's different ways to coat the hair.
Sure.
You know, and you know, we particularly like silicones because they're so light. It's such a light film. Polyquats and, you know, some of these more technical, and even oil will do that. But oil is not going to last as long. You know, so the question then becomes, how long does this surface protection last? And I haven't seen studies of that. Conditioners and products help mask the effects of a degrading cuticle while also slowing down deterioration rates. Now, this is in response to product narrative I caught on a website last week that claimed that conditioning wasn't necessary, that conditioners clogged pores and created problems. You know, like maybe a lousy conditioner.
Right. But
you know, the only way that you're going to do any slowing down of damage and mitigate the effects of air blasting and combs. And by the way, you never, in human beauty, we never see metal combs and metal pins and metal. Why is that?
Yeah, why is that?
Because they're brutal.
Yeah, but no, why do we have them?
Because they're effective. And
right, I couldn't live without my flexible slicker brush.
Slicker brushes are brutal.
Slicker I know.
Brushes are brutal. You know, if we wanted to be as kind to hair as we possibly could, we would use wooden combs and wood pin brushes. It's true. I ran into another article I have here on brushing and combing, how to choose a brush. Choose a brush with long, widely spaced plastic bristles, not natural bristles. This is for humans, but hair is hair.
Right.
Plastic bristles are smoother, blunter, and kinder to your hair, while natural bristles are sharper, often barbed, and tufted close together. Above all, listen to this. Above all, avoid brushes with metal prongs.
Yeah, wow. That's all we have.
That's our first thing. Sometimes that's all we have, right?
Yep.
And here it's what it emphasizes in this article is to always... is to mist your hair if you're brushing dry. But listen to this. Wet hair is swollen and stretched by as much as 20 to 30%. So roughly brushing your hair when wet can snap it like a rubber band.
I can hear mine snap when I brush it when it's wet.
To avoid unnecessary breakage, use a comb rather than a brush to remove tangles after washing your hair, and always work tangles out starting from your ends.
We've talked about that before.
Brush already dried hair gently, carefully easing any knots from the ends upwards. Pulling a brush roughly through your hair from top to bottom can worsen tangles, cause hair breakage, and scratch your scalp. Use a detangling brush on dry hair. Now this is stuff that I've been saying all along, and that's why these articles are kind of validating me. Of course, I had some basis for saying this stuff in the first place,
right?
But I think it's interesting to think more about the glue between the hair cuticles, and I asked myself, well, what this cosmetic science article emphasizes is that chemical treatments like straightening and perming and those, and even hair coloring, those kind of chemical treatments really degrade the cuticle glue. Okay, they really degrade the cuticle glue, and they kind of create an accelerated slippery slope into hair damage. And we don't do a lot of that, But I asked the question, well, do harsh shampoo, I wonder if harsh detergents degrade the cuticle glue. So I dove in and looked that up. And there has been studies showing that sodium lauryl sulfate by itself concentrated will degrade the protein in the hair, in the cuticle membrane, okay? But there hasn't been any studies showing that actual shampoo formulas, you know, when a shampoo formula kind of buffers the effect of the harsher primary detergent.
Co-surfactants. We learned about them 2 weeks ago.
So there hasn't been any science that shows that a well-balanced shampoo actually degrades the cuticle membrane. But it's something to think about. And this article does say that every time we wash our hair, the hair swells and then loses that, it takes on extra moisture and then loses it as we dry. So the more we shampoo and dry, the more we cause wear and tear to the hair cuticle. And just the act of shampooing by hand, where you're massaging in the shampoo, anything that creates friction.
Right.
Anything that creates friction. So that towel drying after the bath that the dog loves when you really rough them up, you know, they love the towel drying part.
They sure do. It's fun.
Always in beauty industry, in, you know, beauticians are trained to pat, don't rub.
Yeah, that's no fun though.
No fun, but that rubbing, you could be snapping some hair cuticles there.
So the only solution to the damaged coat problem is cutting it off then, really, right? I mean, other than conditioners. You put conditioners on it, you do the best you can.
Okay, so, you know, like this, it is true that damage begets more damage. And the more detangling and pulling and plucking and, you know, the more of that you have to do, the more breakage that you're creating inside the coat, and it's going to make for easier matting. And so it is kind of true that dematting is very damaging to the coat, extensive dematting.
So then we just condition.
I think probably the least damaging way to separate the hair is the air from the dryer. And even that is creating friction
and hot.
Force. And it's got heat. So, and heat can damage, and heat will damage the cuticle membrane. What is that called? The
glue. The glue.
Oh, I know. The CMC. The cement.
Yes, the CMC.
The CMC, the cement, the cuticle cement, heat will damage it. UV rays will damage it. So excessive sun can damage it. So my premise in doing the coat damage webinar has always been, what if those owners that are brushing their dog's hair every day really are doing more harm than good?
I was going to mention that earlier. Is now, do we take the brushes away from our clients?
No, but I think that you really want to emphasize that they need to mist with a conditioner as they're grooming.
And now we know why.
And I am more inclined to sell my customers those big wide tooth fat combs, poodle combs, than I am to sell them a slicker brush.
I think you're right.
Because when we're using our slicker brushes on clean, freshly conditioned hair, it's much less likely to cause damage than when they're using slicker brushes on dry, dirty hair.
Yep, and we know how to brush, and they really don't.
Right.
Okay. Well, the fact is, we've hit the end of the show. we're gonna talk about blending lines next week instead of this week, because we're already probably past an hour, because there's just so much to talk about. There's so much to learn and so much to discuss. And, you know, it's an honor to do it with you, Barbara.
Well, I love doing it with you. And I want to tell our listeners that if it's bothersome to you that we chatter on, we want to know that.
Yeah, because we do get carried into our own, visiting.
We do visit, and we are assuming that it's infinitely interesting to y'all, but if it's not, please tell us.
But do it gently in a compliment sandwich, please. All right. Well, you know where we'll be next week anyway. We'll be right back here on the Groom Pod, and you guys, I'm sure, will be joining us again, unless you don't like our blabber, and then let us know. All right. Thanks again, and happy grooming, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.
Bye, groomers. Bye, Susie. Love y'all.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at the Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening, and see you real soon.